This morning, it's a strange how this message came around. I wish I could allow myself to be vulnerable enough to tell you. But I feel this is for someone who's gone through a lot. Someone who's been pushed to their limit, come under maybe severe stress, and maybe this has all been too much for you, whatever that is. This morning I want to speak on fightings, fears, and faith. Fightings, fears, and faith. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 7. Let your eye run down just to verse 4, just for the time's sake. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, love that word there. I love that word there. Nevertheless, God. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Let us pray this morning. Father, I love you. And even as we've been singing, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Thank you, Lord, that your love toward your own will never abate, will never diminish, and will never end. So take your word this morning. You know us. You know the need. You know the trouble. You know it all. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning that he would be exalted and glorified in all that is done this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Fightings, fears, and faith. So I said, I wish I could be, allow myself to be vulnerable. And maybe parts I will, but to where the Lord give me this word. Paul is obviously writing to the church again at Corinth. Verse 4, he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. And then he says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. So sometimes I think we all at some point maybe feel that when we read of Bible characters, or when we see someone and they never seem to have a burden or a problem, that could be someone that you work for. The boss has it all good. The boss has it all together. You know, the boss, wish I was the boss, I'd get all the money. You don't realize the workings behind it. Maybe you're someone who says, wish I was the pastor. The pastor gets to preach. The pastor gets to teach. The pastor's always smiling. And the pastor has no problems. The pastor has it all together. His home must be like heaven. They are vulnerable already. You see, Paul has written this because Paul is letting you and I know that even his life wasn't perfect and peaceful all the time. And he had his own problems. He had his own worries, his own stresses. He says in verse 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh, notice our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Everywhere he went, every step he took, every place he turned to, he had trouble. Trouble on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Will you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 a moment, please? Paul gives us what I've labeled Paul's string of pearls. Not P-E-A-R-L-S, but pearls, P-E-R-I-L-S. He says here in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors and abundant, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent in deaths off. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's a lot of stripes, isn't it? Whippings. In other words, 5 times I was whipped 39 times. And then he says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul is writing here and he's saying, everywhere I went, it was perilous. There was trouble on every side. Verse 27, he says, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And what Paul is saying to you and I this morning and to the Corinthian church here, he's saying, everywhere I went, I was under attack. I found it difficult. It was really hard. But Paul, you're an apostle. Well, even those who were apostles of the Lamb, that is, those who followed the Lord Jesus when he was living and he was among them before his ascension, they're saying that even Paul and the early Christians that Paul, and the word he uses is one born out of due time. And the word there gives the idea of an abortion or a miscarriage. They called Paul this. The Christians done that. That's why Paul is telling us here, he says in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And he tells us of all that he has went through here. And in verse 28, he says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, not only trouble on every side, but every day, stress and pressure and heartache and anxiety, that what comes upon me every day, he says, or daily, the care of all the churches. the care of all the churches. See that little word care? It can mean when you care for something so much, you step into a place of anxiety. We care for our children, don't we? Care for our loved ones. And we can go that far that we step into a place of anxiety. It's the word merama. And it comes from another word that's closely akin to it. It gives the idea to separate, divide off, and to distract. And this can be, no matter what it is, it can be home or at work. It can be in your body. It can be in your mind. It distracts you. That thing consumes you and distracts you. And Paul uses this word to say, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had a care for the believers. Paul had a care for those churches that were being established, that they're young and they're new and, you know, they're learning to get together, how to grow together, how to use the spiritual giftings, and they're way off and they're going hyper-charismatic in sense. They don't know the real sense of the word, and Paul is saying, all this care comes upon me, and it distracts Paul from what he was set out to do. That's because he loved the church. But anxiety can kick in. Have you ever had anxiety about the church, Pastor? Yeah. All week I have. And if I'm honest, even before that. I have to keep bringing myself back. Not be distracted away to the anxiety bit. Where are we going to go next? What are we going to do for a church building? You know, how are we going to get this together, Lord? I've had a brick wall and we're looking at this and that and we're all over. And then this needs done and that needs done and he needs visit and she needs help. And you just get it. You get bogged down with the work of God. Sometimes you forget the God of the work. This isn't a boo-hoo for me. I'm just giving you an example of what might happen in your life where your life is carried away. Yep. And anxiety comes in. What am I going to do? We've come to a dead end. I can't, you know, the wall's there. You can't see any further. When I was in Ballybean last Friday, I think it was, not Friday or Friday before, and I told him of Hezekiah turns to the wall at a bad, when he was given a bad news by Isaiah the prophet that the Lord says, set thine house in order, for thy going to die and not live. And he turns his face to the wall, and there's nothing he can do but look to God. But his visual, physical vision, there's a brick wall in front of him, so to speak. He's nowhere to go. He's no help that can help him. Doesn't matter if every physician or magician comes along and claims healing. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord healed him. Sometimes you feel that you're, the brick wall is here, you know, and you're going, what do I do now? Here it is. Well, you can stare at the brick wall, brothers and sisters, and I get there too. I was there all week, and the week before probably, and the week before that. And you're turned to the brick wall. You're walking. How do I get out of this? How do I get around this? Because I can't. But here's what I can do. Lord, I'm done. Lord, I'm finished. Lord, I can't do this anymore. No one else can help me but you. I'm just going to lie here. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. Some people's place where they are mentally, physically. Maybe you're in a different place than someone else, and they're in a different place than the next person, and it comes upon you here. Paul says he had been through all of this, and that which comes upon him daily is the care, the merima, the anxiety. It gives the idea of distraction of the churches. He was that label of distraction gives the idea that he was took completely away and bogged down with it. That's Paul. Listen, we could think of Job. Job's in the Bible for a reason. Sitting in dust and ashes, scraping himself with a short potsherd, going mad with a skin irritation. And we could think of Job. But if you remember, Job's friends come. People talk about Job's comforter. Poor Job, he was better off without them. They were full of doom and gloom and pointing the finger at him. Ah, you must have done that really wrong, Job. That's why you're like that. And that wasn't true. And the Lord blessed Job more at the end than he did at the beginning. Think of Isaiah. Woe is me, for I'm undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I think of him, and you see, the idea is when he's seen the vision of the Lord, seen the Lord Jesus, and when he sees that vision of him, here is humanity before deity. Here's weakness before strength. Here's the finite before the infinite. And he goes, Lord, in your presence, I'm just too weak. How am I ever going to go? I'll go, but how am I going to do it? And the Lord sends the angel with the tongs, takes a live coal or a hot coal from off the altar and touches his lips. We could go on. David, the humanness of David in the Psalms, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And look, we say, Lord, when are you going to save me out of my troubles? I'm saved for eternity, but I mean delivered, saved out of my bothers, my troubles. When is things going to change? When's it going to turn around? Where's my help coming from? And then he says, oh, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he says, but my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. The one who made it, spoke it into place, into being, and holds it there by the word of his power. He says, I trust in him. So this word here, the care, go with me to Luke chapter 8, please, just for a moment. Luke chapter 8. Do you see the distraction here? You see the distraction. Luke chapter 8, please. And let your eye, if you will, run down the chapter. Verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come unto him out of every city, he spake by a parable. That is the Lord Jesus. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when they had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Notice the seed is the word of God. By those by the wayside are they that hear, and the devil, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on a rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, And these of no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares of and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Four parcels of ground, the seed sown in four, lands in four. It's the third one I want just to look at. We do to take a whole morning on just that parable, but just the third one and the interpretation in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard and go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And what the Lord Jesus here is saying, the word care is merima. You could be here this morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you'll hear the word of God. And maybe you're saying, well, this is maybe a message for me because I've been struggling. I think it's a message for a whole lot of people. It's a message for myself. And it's the cares of this life, the merima, the anxiety that life brings. Your anxiety, the stress of it, the anxiety, the distraction of the cares of this life. In other words, it distracts you, and rather than go and pray about it, leave it with the Lord, rather than go and seek God's face until you get a breakthrough, rather than trust the Lord and rest in His sovereign will, whether that's against your will or not, because His will should always trump our will. Whatever it is, I'm speaking to me, speaking to you. The cares of this life. Paul said it was the cares of all the churches. Here it's the cares of this life. It can be family life, work life, home life. It can be church life. It can be all sorts of life. Just life in general. And some people seem to sail through life and there's no cares. But each and every one of us at some place, point in time, even if your life has been good all the way, stress-free all the way, no problems all the way, it comes to every single one of us in some portion and in some degree. Some more than others. Some more than others. And it's the cares of the life, it's a distraction that you will not adhere to, believe, receive the word of God. It's the cares, the distraction, it's the anxiety that this brings. You're so consumed with whatever, whoever, and look, the Lord, and you know all about that. Maybe your family are there, and maybe somebody's going, you know, this is for you, or that's for me, or whatever. And these things are the things that distracts us from what the word tells us. What is the word saying? I was driving in the car this morning down to here and I said, Lord, and please, this isn't a condemnation to anybody. I says, Lord, do your people really hear your word? Do your people really believe your word? That's why I was talking to the Lord in the car. And then I said, Lord, do I? Because if we all did, our lives would be different. Not only from anxieties and stresses. Listen, the world has anxieties and stresses. The world has the same anxieties and stresses. But the anxieties and stresses for the believer should be of a lesser account. You know why? Because we believe the word of God. And we're subject to what He tells us. And times, look, it's for me too. I would go, Lord, I don't want to listen to this. But the word is there, just keeps right in front of me the whole time until I surrender to his word and will. And then I realized, boy, I was like Jacob wrestling all night there, and I'm exhausted and racked and tired and walking with a limp. When I could have just yielded at the start. So the cares of this life and the riches of it and the pleasures of this life in other accounts of this, it says that they choke. These cares choke. Throttle, it means. Grabs you by the throat and chokes the life out of you, the life of the word. Anybody here? Well, you don't need to put your hand up, by the way. Sometimes you're at the wall. The anxiety of the choking. Where's the word of God in this? Where are you all of this, Lord? Hearts pounding. Thumping out of your chest, so to speak. And there's this and that and the other thing and all around you and the worry, the care, and it spins out of control on you. And the Lord's saying, stop a minute, stop. Listen to his word. Listen to what he says. So this morning I says, Lord, do your people hear your word? Do they believe your word? Me too. Chokes you. Why do they? Go to chapter 21, if you will, of Luke. Chapter 21, please. Verse 33. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Why would Jesus say that to the disciples? To take heed, and then he says, the cares of this life. Because he's saying that when he comes, he wants a glorious bride. He wants to see us as a victorious church. Without spot and without wrinkles, so to speak, from our living, from our cares. He wants to see us with the word living in us and us living by the word. And those cares distract, he's saying. You'll do all these things and they distract it. You know all the other families and that are not saved out there, and they go to this and they go here and they do this, that and the other. And you know, and listen, saved and unsaved, we have mommy and daddy taxi, isn't that right? Running to this and running to that and running to the other thing. We have ourselves in the house where we're so busy around with our families, and look, and it's good to be around your families. Don't get me wrong. That's the building block of our society, our Christian society. But we're so caught up with it. We have fightings. Without our fightings and within our fears. Where's our faith? To trust God for things. The Lord Jesus said that he'll come back. And there are going to be those who are so caught up with the cares of this life. They're going to be caught on in the cares of this life. So will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, please. And while you're turning there, on the other side we have 1 Peter 5 and 7. What does Peter write to us and say? Casting all your, what is it? upon. Why? For he. For you. Do you know what the enemy's been telling me all week? That this place will be empty this morning. Why bother? That's a wee bit of vulnerability there, but that's some of the things I've been hearing. I've been crushed this last month or so. I mean, crushed. Maybe 2 months even. But especially this last week. Went out for a walk with Allison and my wee pup, Blue. Can't even remember if it was a Friday, Allison, maybe. I think it was at night. And I've never said this in my life. I stopped and I said, Allison, my mind can't cope here at the minute. I've so much on, so much to do, so many stresses to deal with. Certain things happening in my life. I says, I'm struggling. And that's not a boo-hoo, by the way. I'm not looking at sympathy. I don't mean it for that. That's me vulnerable to try and let you know we all go through these things. We all get our times when we need God to move in power. Paul here, 2 Corinthians 11 says in verse 28, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Then notice what he says, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Do you think the pastor or the youth leader or the elder or the deacons don't have weakness? Paul had it. Do you think that when you see those people, because they have it seemingly all together, that they don't have it? And I'm saying this to help you, not to try and get the sympathy vote. I'm saying this because in this sense I'm saying it. When you realize that someone else goes through it and can make it, you see them in their humanity, and then you realize, then I can do it too. Not because that person is so strong or because you're so strong and expected so much from you. No, it's because of your Savior. Because He is so strong. What do you do whenever you're in a place, in a position like that? Your brain won't function right. What do you do? Where do you go? You're against the wall. Your face is flat against it. Simple. Pray. And trust God. I would ask you to forgive me this morning for being, allowing myself to be vulnerable, but this is where this has come from. Just yesterday morning, I just jotted a few things down. Notice here, Paul says, who is weak and I am not? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Arius, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Wouldn't it be great if we were, and our expectation of God and ourselves is this, Lord, this king, this evil, wicked, pagan king is going to have me, to kill me. wouldn't it be great to read? And the Lord grew big wings and I just flew off and floated away. That's what you hear. That's what you hear in many charismatic circles. God, give me gold fillings in my teeth. No harm, but I need to dance. I said, chip four. That man has said that. I mean, you know, these things, we must be real. This is real. What we're speaking of today is brass tacks down to earth where the rubber hits the road. Where I skin my knees and you skin yours. This is the reality of Christian life. It's a battle. It's a war. It's a fight. It's a pressing on. And it's difficult at times. Wasn't Paul saying the Lord grew big wings or sent the big angel with big wings and lifted me and just floated me off? It's fantastical, isn't it? You know what the Lord sent to encourage him and to help him, deliver him? A basket and a rope. Sometimes the Lord just brings the practical along. That you'll see him in everything. Even in the small minutest of details. Paul, get in the basket, we'll lower you down the wall. I will not indeed. Imagine that. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on God moving. Well, he sent me with a basket and a rope to tell you to get into it and get down. And it happens, brothers and sisters. I believe in miracles. You know that. I've seen many. I've prayed and I've seen many happen. So don't get me wrong. But we must get down to ground zero level and say, listen, we're in this together. You and I are in this together. It's a matter of dig deep, press on, and trust God. I'm going to round this up in a moment. In our reading, if you'll turn with me, 2 Corinthians 7, please. Paul speaks of being filled with comfort and being exceeding joyful. It's a bit like what Pastor Glenn read from Isaiah 61 and 10 this morning. It means his joy overflows in all of his tribulations and trials. He finds a joy, a peace that passes all understanding. And he doesn't realize, how is this even happening? And he looks and he sees it's all from the one he loves and who loved him and gave himself for him. He looks to Christ. Paul shows himself as a man, a human being with feelings and fears, a person with problems and troubles in life. And Paul's fightings without and his fears within may be different than ours, but they were as real as ours. The opposite of fighting is peace or rest, and the opposite of fear is not courage. It's faith. When you're fearful, it's not courage. You can have all the courage you want and still you're fearful, but you know, you do it anyway. But faith is different. Faith is the enabler, the believer that lives in us, that's imputed to us from God himself, to trust him. The opposite of fear is not courage. And it's great to try and be courageous, but we may try and face our problems, but the truth be told, a lot of the time our courage wanes and our courage fails. Ask Peter. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And listen, people go, oh, well then, Christ's prayers didn't really work because he ended up denying him three times. No, 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 hold on. His courage failed him. You were with him. Your speech bereath you, is letting you down. It's telling you us who you are. I don't know the man. That was courage. His courage left him. But he went out and wept. His faith was still with him. You know why? Because Christ was praying for him. Our courage can fail and wane no matter how strong we are, how tough we are, how courageous we are. There are things that can come our way to break our courage. But faith, this is what I've written. Faith dispels fear. Faith dispels fear, strengthens the heart, compels us to believe for a change of circumstance. Faith upholds us. Faith causes us to behold that which we don't yet see and to receive that which we don't yet have. Faith causes you to see the invisible and to expect the impossible. Faith causes you to see the invisible and to expect the impossible. Romans 10 and 17, Paul writes, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I trust this morning you're hearing. Lord, did your people hear your word? I trust this morning we're all hearing. Listen, Puritan Elisha Cole said, faith is your spiritual optic. How you see, you look through faith. Look through the eye of faith. My faith is small. My faith is weak. But that's okay. It could be the size of a grain of mustard seed. And when it says you can move mountains, it doesn't mean a literal mountain. That's an idea of a kingdom powers. Change governments even. Jesus said, see through the eye of your spiritual optic of faith and not as your flesh, as Paul writes, as flesh, whoa. Oh, and 5 and 7, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, our flesh had no rest, but we are troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth us, comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Remember the basket and the rope let down? Know how God comforted Paul at the end of all of this? He sent a man. Well, he didn't send a mighty sweeping revival ministry. No. He sent a man with a message. He sent someone who had been among the Corinthians and given a better report that the Christians were growing in the grace and in the knowledge of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were becoming more mature in the faith, that they were being more passionate and ardent about it. As he traveled around and Titus comes to him and says, Paul, I want to tell you, so his care for all the churches, that which was distracting him, God brought a man along with a message and he says, I want to tell you about the churches. And Paul hears of those whom he cared for, those whom he cared so much it distracted him. I've told this before. I know many times I said, Lord, I can't do this. Do you know I resign every Monday morning? I tell the Lord, that's me, done. Every Monday morning. I resign. I'm done, Lord. Even if I've had a good night. And a good night in the sense where the people have come out. That's encouraging. The Spirit has been moving. praise has been great.
Monday morning, I go, it wasn't a bad night, but see, by the time the day goes on, I go, Lord, still going to resign. And then I have to repent. Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that to you. I'm sure the Lord's going, well, stop saying it. And many times I've thought and I've prayed and I've said, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. I can't go through this anymore. I can't do this. And by the way, we have a really good church, by the way. I'm not saying that just because you're all here. We really, really do. We really do. We have really good people. So I'm not saying that, Lord, a lot of trouble. It's just everything out you're trying to do and trying to get things. And I go, I can't carry this anymore. And many times I've heard the Lord say to me, I never asked you to carry it. Whose church is it anyway? Is it yours or is it mine? That's pride in me then. And I need to repent of that pride. Lord, I'm sorry. Who do I think I am? What sort of a character do I think I am? That I think I could keep you all. I can encourage you all. Even admonish you all. Help you all. Well, most as best I can. Can't keep you. Yeah. Tell the children to come up, please. I'm going to finish this here. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 5, he was troubled in every side. See the idea of troubled there, by the way? It's the word phlebo. Gives you an idea. You know, like you see the press in and they're all with their in front, and you see maybe a star trying to get through. That's the way it is, where they pressed in even in the Lord Jesus, the people around, and they're going this way, and there's people pulling and hauling at them. Do you ever feel your minds like that? Your head's like that? Your life's like that? And your anxiety? I'm not an anxious person, by the way. I've never been an anxious person. Sometimes it just gets you. Whoa, it's there. And you're about to break and crack. It gives the idea, believe it or not, this word phlebo gives the idea of crushing grapes. Did you ever get your trampled all over? It's like somebody's crushing you like a grape. It's the idea of this. Paul says, I feel like the trampling of grapes here on every side. The care of the churches is distracting me. God, help me. And he sends along Titus. Where's the army, Lord? Where's the Christian revival, Lord? Where's the whole of Corinth getting saved and the whole of Greece and so on? Where is this? I'm looking for that. The Lord says, no, I've sent you a message by this man to say, listen, the church, the Christians are growing in their faith and they're doing well. Paul says, now that's all I needed. A message from the Lord. So here's what I've written. I'll finish with this. The fears here is the word phobos, where we get the word phobia from. And this is what I've written. Be a prayer warrior and don't be a persistent warrior. Be bold in faith. Persevere through persecution. Be brave for the battle. Have courage in your circumstance. Be triumphant over terror and be an overcomer when overwhelmed. Be determined in despair, a victor, not a victim, and have faith, and let it dominate your fears. And at that, there's the Lord has brought all our wee encouragements in. The Lord bless them all. Team, would you come up, please?